This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey everybody, this is Randy Withers back with another game day edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We are gearing up for week two and the Jayhawks Big 12 opener as they go on the road to West Virginia, fresh off the absolute beatdown of Tennessee Tech. We're going to look back on the matchup against Tech, and we're going to look ahead to the game on Saturday with the Mountaineers. We're going to welcome in Keenan Cummings, who covers West Virginia for the Rivals Network, and hear from Mountaineers head coach Neil Brown, who said some really, really positive things about the Kansas program that Jayhawk fans are going to definitely want to hear. Before we get into all that, let me bring in my good friend and the publisher of Jayhawk Slant, Mr. John Kirby. JK, how are you doing today?
Randy, I couldn't be better, man. Football is officially back, right? I mean, we had the Friday night game, and I got to tell you, because I know you and I, we talk a lot of high school football. Once the Jayhawks started building that big lead, I cannot lie that I had my second monitor set up in the press box. I was keeping my eyes on those high school scores because, you know, all the schools in Kansas started up, and yep. I was following Derby. I saw they were behind. I saw some other scores, so I kind of had one eye sitting over there. Once I saw the game was in doubt, you know, I was cheating a little bit. But, man, how great is it to have football back and be able to talk about it? And, you know, we went so long, you know, with Kansas showing all the positive signs at the end of last year. And then just that long wait you get. And now, Hey, man, it's back. It's so fun to have it back.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like you say, because of the the high note that last season ended on, it made the offseason seem so much longer than it obviously was. I mean, it wasn't calendar-wise, it wasn't any longer than any offseason we've been through. But man, it seems like it's taken forever. And to have that just no doubt result in that opening game of Tennessee Tech, and I know people say, oh, it's Tennessee Tech, that's what they should have done. But it's been a long time since Kansas has gone out and done what they should do against an opponent like that. And it was, it was a lot of fun to watch. Friday was my birthday, so that was really fun to be able to sit there. I was able to enjoy some really good Cajun food and watch the game and really, you know, it was just... I was going on and on. My wife was listening to me. She was like, who are you talking to? Because I'm sitting in my chair. I'm like, man, we are really tackling well. Look at the way the backs are getting into open space. Look at the angles this defense is playing with. You'd have thought I was talking to you. She thought I was losing my mind. But, man, it was a lot of fun on Friday night. It really was. And I'm with you. It's so exciting to have high school football back. You mentioned Derby that lost to Manhattan. I didn't see that coming. We're not going to get into that, though. We are going to go ahead and gear up for this Big 12 matchup. I still can't believe it's week two and we're going to be playing a Big 12 game and going on the road to West Virginia. Like I say, it was a nice opening win for the Jayhawks, and they did it in convincing fashion. Let's look back, and John, I want you to give us your thoughts. I've already rambled on a little bit about this. What can we learn from a game like that?
Well, you know, Randy, I can't tell you how many times I have sat in that stadium in an opening week, and KU is supposed to either be a heavy favorite or definitely the favorite, and watch them either lose, you know, or go to the wire with somebody or have to come behind in the fourth quarter. So what the other night showed me is Kansas, and I said this on in the first podcast, I said, I predicted a beatdown. Did I not?
You did.
I predicted a beatdown. I saw that one coming. I thought the guys were focused. I thought KU was going to be the better team. But let me tell you what I got from that. KU took care of business. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have sat in that stadium, like I said, and watched it time and time again where they either didn't play well and had to come from behind or lost to somebody they shouldn't have lost to, but they did what they're supposed to do. And I don't know how big that is. How I know people, some people may roll their eyes and they're like, dude, it's Tennessee Tech. Okay. The bottom line is Kansas went out and played like the 28-point favorite that they were and took care of business. And to me, that's so big. Is West Virginia going to be a whole different ballgame? Yeah. Okay. They will. And they'll have to readjust and change some things for that. But, you know, I saw something from all the running backs. I really liked what I saw there. I thought Jalen Daniels was efficient. From the naked eye, the O-line played well. You know, it was tough to gauge because they were just bigger and stronger than Tennessee Tech. You know, I thought the defense played really well. I thought they flew to the ball. I thought they had a nasty mentality when they got there. I thought they tackled well. I thought they wrapped up. Pro Football Focus said they missed two tackles on running plays. The defense was dominant on special teams. You'd like to see some things cleaned up there. I mean, you know, hey, but that's why you play them and get out there and work on those things. So, you know, listen, to me, it was a great win. I don't look at that thing and go, oh, look at the opponent. I look at it and say, the Jayhawks did what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's the first time in so many years that they have gone out and done exactly what they should have. And again, they did so in decisive fashion. Okay, so as we gear up for West Virginia, it's time to take a better look at the Mountaineers program. I'm going to turn it over to JK. On the studio line, we're joined by Keenan Cummings from our West Virginia rivals site, who's going to preview the matchup on Saturday.
We are joined by Keenan Cummings from WVSports.com. He covers the West Virginia beat for our site and the Rivals Network. Keenan, how you doing, man?
Doing well, John. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, I want to start out by asking you this. I saw it on Twitter, and I kind of watched it the other day. Neil Brown came out and kind of had, I don't know if it was like an apologizing video or something about from the Pitt game. Just talk about that, and what was the fans' reaction to that?
That was unique, wasn't it? You don't typically see that. I think that Neil understands, though, that that was a game West Virginia fans want to win. For as much as West Virginia fans are grateful and enjoy what the Big 12 has provided them, in the league, there's just no natural rivals. And those are formed over time. There's not necessarily, you run into a Pitt fan at Walmart or you run into a Virginia Tech fan where you live. You don't see a lot of, Kansas or Kansas State. So those games are very, very important to West Virginia fans. And I think Neil understood that, understood the gravity of the situation and how the game played out. And that was kind of his, hey, guys, we messed up. We were in it. We had a chance to win, and we didn't win. But I think the fan base was a little, some of them were appreciative. Some of them are still very upset about that fourth down call. If you're watching the game, the one I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Some of them are still very, very upset about that. But, West Virginia fans are to the point where I don't think you're going to find anybody that dislikes Neil Brown. But it's year four. It's time to start showing some results. It's time to start winning some games.
All right, so you've been around the team, the staff. Just talk about the mindset. They lost to a talented Pitt team. Just what's the mindset in a game that West Virginia should have and could have won?
Yeah, coulda, woulda, shoulda is unfortunately kind of, I guess, the descriptive tenure of Neil Brown's reign so far, which is unfortunate because everything else he's doing right. It just comes down to, winning some of those close games. I do think, though, of the past few years since Neil arrived, the resolve, the fire, the hungriness, to quote players, seems higher than I've ever seen. Usually after a loss like that, you see players hanging their head, emotions are boiling up. These guys seem ready to play, focused, and believe that, they lost the game to Pitt, but there's still 11 left to play, and they think they have a chance in every single game that's remaining.
All right, so, I'm kind of a big picture question here. Just walk me through the offense and the defense. Talk about what Kansas fans can expect from the Mountaineers on both sides of the ball.
Well, West Virginia brought in Graham Harrell in the offseason, which was one of those check marks that Neil Brown had to make, bringing in an offensive coordinator to take over. It looked good against Pitt. That's as good of a front seven as West Virginia is going to play this year. They had some protection issues at times, but ran the football effectively. you know, had 190 yards rushing against Pitt. That's the most they've given up since A.J. Dillon was running wild against them in 2019 for Boston College. So it's been a couple years since the team's ran on Pitt like that. JT Daniels is kind of the leader of the offense, quarterback transfer from Georgia, played at USC as well. Looked to be the real deal. You know, stood in the pocket, took hit after hit, was able to keep his eyes downfield and make plays. His receivers let him down at times. Drops have been an issue with this West Virginia team dating back for a couple years, but they have talent at wide receiver. It's just a matter of catching the football, which I know obviously is very important. Freshman running back C.J. Donaldson was a guy that West Virginia recruited as a tight end, believe it or not, and was moved to running back in fall camp almost out of necessity. And he was arguably the best player on the field in that game. Had 125 yards rushing on 7 carries, blocked a punt, had 3 huge blitz pickups in the backfield. So I expect his role to grow. Offensively, this is a team that's improved for West Virginia. Defensively, kind of much of the same. West Virginia has a standard there. They've played pretty well on the defensive side of the ball. They lost some pieces in the offseason, but they added some transfers. Dante Steele returns up front. I'm sure Kansas fans know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
His brother. Yeah, he's played very well. Taj Austin, another guy, Jordan Jefferson. Linebackers are faster than they've been the past couple of years, more athletic. And the secondary is more of a question mark right now. I think they felt good about it going into the Pitt game, but when you lose a cover corner that, you know, is a first-team All-Big 12 preseason guy in Charles Woods and his status is up in the air, it kind of throws everything for a loop.
All right, so what do you expect, man? What do you expect from the team as KU comes to town this week? How do you see the matchup and maybe, you know, how do you see the game playing out?
I think this is an interesting game because I personally, from watching Kansas over the end of last year, because West Virginia played them right at the end of last season, you know, and their opener, they're playing better football than West Virginia fans are accustomed to. I know everyone, you know, it's been a running joke about Kansas football for a while, but I think that Lance has got that program trending in the right direction. I think I would be more worried for West Virginia had they beaten Pitt, if that makes sense. I think that there's that trap game type of feel, but just talking to the players, you know, being around the coaches, it seems like that game gave them more focus. They're ready to go into conference play and see what happens. I think this is going to be a good football game, though. I know you helped me out on my site, you know, give me some insight from your side. I see a close game as well, but this is a game that Neil Brown just, you know, he has to win at home this early in the season. You know, West Virginia had a tough loss in the opener. They have 3 games that they should win. Moving forward, you're talking 3-1 heading to Texas. It's a different story. You lose one of these next 3, and the grumbles are going to get a little bit louder in Morgantown.
Well, Keenan, as always, man, I really appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You too, buddy. Thank you.
All right, take care.
John, it's really interesting. Keenan is expecting a close game, and it's time for Neil Brown, the head coach of West Virginia, to show something in his 4th year leading that program. Speaking of Neil Brown, I want to play a clip from the head coach that is really interesting, and I think all Kansas fans are going to find extremely interesting, where he talked about this game. Well, he talked about his game against Pittsburgh first, and then he gave his thoughts on the Jayhawks.
I said, I'm proud of our guys. I thought we had a chance to be a good football team going in, coming out of that game. After watching it, I know we do. We're much improved. Looked like a totally different team than how we finished in the bowl game, which was the expectation, and that's definitely what we saw on film. So moving on to Kansas. Kind of give, they're 1-0, obviously big win over FCS opponent week 1. I think it starts with them. They're well coached. Have a lot of respect for Lance going back and his staff, which are a lot of the same guys going back. We played them in a bowl game when he was at Buffalo and we were at Troy. They're disciplined. They don't beat themselves. They got low number of turnovers. They don't have penalties. And they're playing with a lot of confidence right now, and they should. If you think about their last 4 games, go on the road and win at Texas, losing the last possession on the road at TCU. Our 21 team, it's a 1-possession game. They lose at home with a bunch of injuries. Both sides had a bunch. And then they win big. You know, that's their last 4 games. You know, those are – and they have belief. They're playing, like I said, they're playing well. They're a good football team. I think at the end of the year, you're going to look back and say, hey, this is the most, one of the most improved teams in the entire country. Give you kind of a snapshot of who they are. Offensively, they're multiple. They use motions and shifts. They do a great job of moving guys around and figuring out ways to run the football and get some shot plays down the field from a schematic standpoint. Their quarterback, Jalen Daniels, we talked about last year, and they're just a different team with him playing quarterback. He's got confidence. He's a dual threat guy, but he's a passer first. He's athletic enough to run, but he's a passer first. He's accurate. He throws a deep ball well. They've hit some explosive plays. And I think that was, you know, you saw that against Texas last year, and then he did it again in their first game this year. Running back room, they're as deep as anybody in our league. You know, the Neal kid is really good. Then they got the Thomas guy that was in Minnesota last year who ran for a bunch of yards. They got a Nebraska transfer. They've got another kid that's a big physical kid, number 20, that set out last year. So, I mean, they're four deep with legitimate upper-end Big 12 running backs. Play three tight ends. They throw the ball well to them. Receiver, they had a couple big plays last week. And I think their left tackle and their center are upper-tier Big 12 offensive linemen. The left tackle is really good, and he's athletic. He caught a two-point conversion versus the 21 team. Defensively, four down front. I think for them, it starts with their safety, Kenny Logan, all Big 12 performer last year. Really good tackler. I think he's their guy that gets them lined up in the back end. He's really sharp. You can tell he's an intelligent football player. At corner, they've really improved. They're long and athletic. They played some young guys there last year, and I think it's paying off for them. But they've got some depth there. And linebacker, they've added a couple transfers, and a couple guys that played for them last year have improved. You can tell that they've gotten faster and stronger. And then D-line-wise, they're a veteran group. They play about seven or eight guys. Some big body guys. They got a transfer from Miami, Ohio, who had a big game in the first game, and he had some impressive pass rush numbers at Miami there as well. Special teams, Logan is a kickoff returner. He hurt us last year, hit us with a big one, and he's one of the better ones in our league. Grimes is a slot receiver that punt returns. I think he went over 100 yards in 21. Their kickoff guy is really good. So that's kind of a picture of who they are. Very improved football team, well coached. We'll have our hands full, but we're looking forward to getting back to it. Got our first really work day since the Pitt game today. So with that, I'll take questions.
Kirby, those are some really strong comments about KU football.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, when you actually, Randy, I saw him say it. I was watching his press conference. And, you know, sometimes there's people that'll say that's coach speak, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I really think that when you watched him and when you hear what he said, I think it's genuine. And you know, he's got a familiarity with Leipold and a lot of his staff because he played him when he was at Troy. He knows his history. He knows the success he's had at past programs. So I thought it was, you know, his little comment there where he said, by the end of the year, he expects people to look back and see KU is one of the most improved teams. So, I mean, you know, look what KU did at their last three or four games at the end of last year, okay, improved. And if what Brown says holds true and they improve like they did at the end of this year, hey, Kansas fans are going to have a fun season and a lot to look forward to if that holds true.
No question. I'm curious, John, were you surprised to have a Big 12 coach come out and speak so highly of this program so early in this rebuilding process?
Well, I don't know if I'm surprised. I just thought, you know, those were, you know, it was impressive to hear him talk about KU because, I mean, he went pretty deep into offensively, defensively, mm-hmm. talking to guys by name, but just the way that he talked about how well he thinks the team's coached and how well he thinks they're going to improve. You don't hear a lot of guys say that and make a prediction like that. Usually you'll say, you know, you'll hear a coach say when they're getting ready to play somebody, hey, they looked really good last week. They're going to be a tough challenge, right? Hey, we got our hands full this week.
Yeah.
But Brown went out and said, by the end of the year, I think we're going to look back and see that they're one of the most improved teams. So I thought that was real interesting and pretty high praise. And I just think that shows Kansas fans out there that, you know, the 1 year extension came in, you know, they got the right, they've got the right guy leading this program.
I absolutely agree with that. All right, John, we are at everybody's favorite time of the pregame podcast. It's time the Jayhawks play their first road game on the road, West Virginia, Saturday at 5 o'clock. How do you see this one going?
Well, you know, Randy, this is going to be a different deal, all right? This is going to be a lot different than Tennessee Tech was. I watched every snap of the West Virginia Pitt game, and I don't think I can state this enough. I know I said it on the message boards, but Pitt has one of the best D linemen, one of the best D lines, and one of the best front sevens in the country, okay? Mm-hmm. And Pitt also returned 5 starting offensive linemen from last year. I mean, they are really good up front. And when you watch West Virginia, I mean, they went head-to-head with them. And at times, I thought West Virginia was the better front. There were times where I thought West Virginia was taking the game to Pitt physically. So that did concern me a little bit because,
yeah,
hey, this is no knock on KU, okay? But Pitt up front is better than KU is. All right. So West Virginia's seen that, okay? And that's a game West Virginia really probably should have won. But I'm going to say this too. That is a rivalry game. That is a huge game. And those kids from West Virginia got up for that game. I know I've seen people say, hey, they wish West Virginia would have won, so maybe they come in and took, you know, KU lightly on Saturday. You know, I look at it the other way. West Virginia's got to get back up for a rivalry game. I mean, that was a huge game for them. Obviously, being at home, coming off the loss, I think West Virginia's going to want out and go. You know, they're going to want to go out and play well. But KU's got to be physical. They've got to turn that part up because West Virginia's going to be very physical. Listen, I was around the players. I feel a confidence in them. I really believe that, you know, they know that the Kansas program is going in the right direction. You can feel it. You can feel the confidence in them. Is Kansas going to win? You know what? I probably would bet not right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those players believe they're going to go win. So, you know, I think if KU comes out and plays like they're capable, this is going to be a football game and KU can hang with them. I think it's going to be really tough. I think they believe they can be in any game. Special teams has to clean some things up, like I talked about. The defense is going to be in for a challenge. JT Daniels, he threw it a little bit better than I was hoping to see. I was kind of hoping to see him maybe struggle or have some rust on him, but their passing game looked pretty good. They've got some good targets. I'm looking for a good game. I'm looking for an entertaining game, and I've always said this. For KU fans, as KU starts to rebuild, it's not always about the wins sometimes, okay? I know that's the final measuring stick that everybody uses, but sometimes it's about showing you belong and you're just as good as somebody on the field. I think the Jayhawks come to play. I think West Virginia's just a little bit better. They're playing at home. I'm going to go with the Mountaineers, 31-24. Now give me yours.
John, I'm right there with you. I think the West Virginia defensive front is going to pose – you know, you talked about the Pitt defensive line and their front seven. I think the West Virginia defensive line is going to pose a legitimate challenge for this Kansas offensive line. I was really impressed with the way that they moved up front against Tennessee Tech. But like you said, that's Tennessee Tech. This is a Big 12 defensive front. It's a little bit of a different alignment. You know, it creates problems. And I expect there will be some times where KU is going to struggle to be able to move them off the ball, which is one of the things that we talked about after last week. People noticed, you know, there wasn't that knocking people back that I think we hope to see. It was more of just kind of getting people out of the way. This is a defensive front that it's going to be imperative. I mean, if you're going to create space, you're going to have to put your hand in the dirt and really drive people off the football. I think it's a great test for this offensive line. That said, I think they are going to be able to pressure Jalen Daniels. We saw last week he played a fantastic game. I think, though, if they can get pressure on him, if he doesn't have a clean pocket, obviously it doesn't matter who you are, quarterback, that changes things. It'll be interesting to see if those receivers can present a target, get open for him against a solid secondary. I think, I'm like you, I think West Virginia wins this one. I'm thinking, you know, a 31-20 kind of look. I'm thinking 10 to 14 points going on the road. I think Kansas is in this game. I think it's going to be competitive. I think they'll have a shot, you know, at least in the fourth quarter. I don't know about late, but I think West Virginia is just a little bit too much. They put in a good effort against Pitt, and I think they'll come back off of it and pick up their first win of the year. John, there were a few visitors on campus for the Friday night game, which a lot of people, I don't think they necessarily expected to see some recruiting targets on campus in Lawrence on a high school Friday night, but we did get some guys in. Tell us what you know about their time, what they thought of Lawrence, what they thought of the Kansas program getting their first look at it, and kind of catch us up on anything else going on with recruiting right now.
Yeah, you know, Randy, and we talked about this on the last podcast. We knew this would be a light game, and we're going to kind of have a little bit of a lull in recruiting because with Kansas playing on Friday, they just weren't going to get a lot of high school kids at the game, right? Because everybody else was playing, except, you know, BJ Kennedy, who we'll talk about from Topeka. They didn't play till Saturday. So they were able to get a few guys in. But you got two straight games on the road, and then you got Duke. And I think the Duke game, I think you'll see, you know, I'm not going to sit here and predict a big list of 4- and 5-star visitors, but I think they're going to come back and they'll have a nice group visiting for that Duke game. At the Friday night game, you had Jameel Croft, a defensive back from Detroit, very talented. He and I exchanged messages, talked. I'll have a story coming on him. He really had a good time, and I had a chance to talk to people, and they thought he had a real good visit. And, you know, Kansas has that Detroit pipeline going where, you know, they've got some kids from the area. They got some kids from the state of Michigan. And, you know, Jameel Croft, from everything that I can tell, you know, he feels comfortable with that knowing guys from his area, from his high school, Martin Luther King, are going to KU. And, you know, that's important to recruits. Ontario Thompson was there, a defensive lineman from Iowa Western. He's a big, good-looking kid. I know he went to Nebraska the next day. He's starting to get more offers. People are starting to come in on him. But the good news is I think he was impressed enough with his unofficial visit. When he got back, he started talking to the coaches about setting up an official visit. So that's one guy to watch, a junior college player. And then BJ Kennedy from Topeka, defensive end. You know, he's got a lot of offers going into. Something really stood out to me that he said, and I kind of went, you know what? When's the last time you've heard this? But he said he's been to KU games before, but it's been as a fan. This time he went as a recruit, and he said, you know, I liked walking through the stadium and people noticing who I was. He said he was walking up, and he said some guy reached his hand out and gave him high five and said, "Hey, BJ, we need you here in Lawrence. Rock chalk." He told me that. And So, you know, Randy, that's a good sign, because you and I have talked about this too. Sometimes when the football recruits have come to Kansas in the past, they don't get recognized. Okay. They definitely don't get recognized like a basketball recruit does. Right.
No doubt.
So maybe some of that's changing. You know, maybe the fan base, they're getting behind this program. They're paying a little bit more attention. And like I said, on the board, BJ's 6'5", 250, okay? So when he's walking through the crowd, you know, he's not hard, you know, not to spot. I mean, he stands out.
Oh, you know that's a guy right there.
Right, yeah. When BJ's walking up the, you know, the steps, somebody's going, "Hey, who's this kid," right? So, but anyways, you know, that Friday night game, it was a hard draw playing there. I said, you know, I talked about we'll see better numbers against Duke. Something else to watch. They're really starting to pick up the pace now on 2024 players. I talked to Harrison Utley, an offensive lineman from Oklahoma, 2024 guy. He just got an offer. A guy that you're familiar with, Jaden Riddell from Ray Peck.
Yes.
2024.
Already 6'5 and 225 pounds.
Hey, great looking prospect. And, you know, he's starting to get offers. He's going to get more. And, you know, I reached out to him, and he and I are supposed to connect here possibly tonight. So I'll have some more coming on him. I know they talked to Andrew Sprague, the 2024 offensive lineman from Rockhurst. I know they talked to him this week, and I'm getting the sense they are going to start getting now into this 2024 class. And it's going to be interesting, because on the Kansas City, Missouri, on the Missouri side, there's some 2024 kids who are going to be highly recruited. But right now on the Kansas side, the 2024 class is kind of coming along a little slow. I think it's going to be a smaller list. It's definitely not going to be like the 2023 class. So, you know, it'll be interesting who can maybe rise up some lists and get some offers on the Kansas side. But right now, the class of 2024 in Kansas looks a little bit down.
Interesting. Really interesting stuff. That's the final word on in this pregame edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. You are primed and ready for the Kansas football matchup on Saturday at 5 p.m. as they go on the road to open Big 12 play at West Virginia. For John Kirby, publisher of Jayhawk Slant, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast with JayhawkSlant.com. We'll talk to you again soon. Rock chalk.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.